Dan Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Two more hostages recently shown in video released by Hamas this week have died. ABC's Andy Field with more.
Israel reporting Hamas has murdered two more of its citizens who were taken hostage in that initial attack last October. The two men killed were in their 30s and 50s. At the same time, Qatar announced a deal that would allow delivery of more medicine to more than 100 Israeli hostages, along with humanitarian aid to Palestinian civilians. It is the first agreement between Israel and Hamas since their week-long ceasefire collapsed in late November.
Opening arguments up next in the second E. Jean Carroll defamation case against Donald Trump. That after a jury of nine was seated earlier today. Trump appearing in New York court just hours after celebrating his big win in Iowa. Ron DeSantis coming in a distant second. Nikki Haley third. A federal judge has halted JetBlue's plan to buy Spirit Airlines, citing with the Justice Department lawsuit that it will hurt competition and customers. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Senate is firing Public Service Commissioner Tyler Huebner. Governor Evers is appointing Kristi Noem to take his place. Senate Democrats complain Republicans have been firing Evers' appointees out of pure partisanship. The keynote speaker at this year's State of Wisconsin Martin Luther King Day celebration says he wants the promise of justice one day to happen today.
More and more, I feel that the people of ill will have used much more effectively than have the people of goodwill. We will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and the actions of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people.
The Reverend Marcus Allen is a Baptist minister in Madison. I'm Terry Bell. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Police Department is investigating a report of an armed robbery that occurred on Sunday afternoon. Officials say the incident occurred around 3:30 at the Walgreens on the 1100 block of East Superior Street. The victim reported that a male suspect approached him with a knife and took just $2 before fleeing the area as police were responding. No information about the suspect has been released yet, but investigators will provide a description after a thorough review of security camera footage. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and Wisconsin Saltwise are advising residents not to use too much salt on sidewalks and roads. Officials say that road salt is one of the biggest contributors to the salinization of the state's fresh water supply. For the salt that doesn't move right into surface water as the snow melts, it can get into the drinking water supply after sifting through the soil and bedrock. Salt runoff can also affect the ecosystem in freshwater lakes and streams, hurting organisms that eat algae. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Marquette with a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, Marquette got a much-needed victory over Villanova, 87-74. The Golden Eagles had lost three of their last five games. Head coach Shaka Smart.
There had to be some doubt, and I thought the guys did a great job of overcoming that.
Smart says they had a special guest speaker before the game, former Marquette and NBA star Dwayne Wade.
D. Wade gave the pregame talk, and he said, you guys have to win today. I thought our guys did play with a level of desperation and commitment to what goes into winning, even as Villanova was raining threes in the first half.
NFL, it's the Packers against the 49ers Saturday night. Matt LaFleur on that throw from Jordan Love to Dontavian Wicks in their win over the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, that cover zero play that he ripped that post to Wicks. I mean, that was one of those plays that just, you could sit there and watch that all day long.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The brutal cold continues to blast us today, with blustery winds whipping up to 25 miles per hour, dragging our wind chill values to near negative 25. As highs today struggle to get above zero, it'll only warm to feeling like 15 below. However, we do get to see more sunshine today. Just stay warm. Right now, 4 degrees.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Well, speaking of welcome, there is a welcome development that's bipartisan. It looks like it's going to take place in the Congress, House of Representatives, and the Senate. And here's what it is. They have announced, both sides, there's a bipartisan deal to expand the child tax credit and at the same time provide a series of tax breaks for businesses. I've looked at it. And the child tax credit was something that had been hotly fought over. You remember, people like Trump and the rest of them, the right-wing nuts, didn't want it. They didn't want to help poor people with kids. Well, here is the result of this bipartisan deal. The child tax credit, the increase that has been agreed to, would benefit 16 million kids in low-income families. It would reduce child poverty, and that's according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, which is considered a liberal-leaning liberal-leaning group. They went on. They said in the first year, it'll lift 400,000 kids out of poverty in the first year alone, and 3 million more would be less poor, would be less likely to go into poverty. As far as the business tax breaks, I think some of them are reasonable. I think they are reasonable. It would let businesses expense research and experimental costs. In other words, they can expense it in this tax year and not spread it out, the tax benefit over several years. It also gives them a restoration of an earlier interest deduction and an expansion of small business expensing. I think these on balance are good. They're reasonable. And this was announced by the House Ways and Means Chair, the finance guy, House of Representatives, because the majority is Republican. He's Republican. His name is Jason Smith from Missouri, Republican Missouri. Senate's Democratic. So the Senate Finance Chair, Ron Wyden, good guy of Oregon. And he and Smith joined up on this. And they both hope it'll be passed by January 29. Now, let me say something about this. If they can do this, and I think it's important, but it's not as important as the budget, for instance, not as important as aid to Ukraine, to Israel, to Taiwan, not as important to, as, for instance, money to get more agents at the border, get control of our immigration status at the border. If they can do this, what is holding up a bipartisan deal on everything else? And let me give you an example. Right now, out of the 213 Democrats, there are 200, at least 190, who would vote for aid for Ukraine, aid for Israel, aid for Taiwan, and more money at the border to control immigration, and a budget through 2024 fiscal year, September 30, which would incorporate the agreement between Kevin McCarthy and Joe Biden back in the spring. And there are about 150 Republicans out of their 220, 21, a couple of them are sick and out, but let's say call it 221. 150 of them would do the same thing. In the Senate, there are about 80 senators, virtually all the Democrats and about 30 of the Republicans, who go along with everything I just said. Now, if you have 350 members of the House of Representatives who would vote on a heartbeat for aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, aid to Taiwan, stricter border control, more money for the border, and 80 senators would do the same thing, why the hell don't they do it? The reason they don't do it are arcane rules that the vanity of the entire Congress demands be kept in place. And that is unanimous consent and filibuster in the Senate. And that is the chair is vacant, can be declared by one member of the House, and also the rule vote that has to precede the regular vote. What is this? If you're going to put a bill on the floor and the speaker wants it on the floor and the majority party is willing to put it on the floor, put it on the floor. Why do you have a rule vote so a handful of hotheads and right-wing nuts can stop it from even being discussed? And what's this business of one member of the House can declare the chair vacant? Kevin McCarthy caved on that. Kevin McCarthy caved on that. And that cost him the speakership. It used to be it had to be some larger number of people. I would say should be at least 25%, 30% of the House. If 25 or 35% of the House thinks the chair should be vacant, then you can have another vote. And if you object and say, well, Matt, what if the minority party just keeps doing it? They're not going to keep doing it. The Democrats are not going to have 30% of their members or a 30% margin, sufficient members to do it, and then lose again and again and again. It's a bad look. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about reining in people who are really traitors to the United States. They are really traitors to the United States. Right now, they kicked the can down the road, as you know, to the beginning of March, first week in March. The old January 19, February 2nd dates have been, February 2nd date has been kicked a month. That's it. It's a very short month because February is a short month. Very short month. And what are they going to do it again till April and May and drive down our credit rating even more? Cost taxpayers billions of dollars in interest because of this fooling around. And there's nobody that is listening to this show who pays billions of dollars in federal income tax. Nobody. The wealthiest people in the country, if they were listening, don't pay any income tax. Nobody pays billions. Everything that you have worked for and everything that you've paid in federal income tax, and I don't care if you pay $1,000 a year, $10,000 a year, $50,000, $100,000, whatever you pay, is nothing. Snap your fingers. It's somebody just lighting a match to it. Because extra interest that didn't have to be paid, did not have to be paid, our credit, our ability to pay our bonds is the strongest in the world, and it always has been. Everybody knows it. But what they're afraid of, the rating agencies and investors, are that even though we could pay, we won't because of the Republican Party. When the Democrats are in power, they do not say, we're going to shut down the government unless you get past the Voting Rights Act, a national abortion bill, enshrining Roe v. Wade, and Medicare for All. If you don't pass that, we're shutting down the government. We don't do that. But the Republicans will say, we'll shut down the government unless you dance to our tune on a variety of issues. And this is all because of the Republican Party. All because of the Republican Party. And now they've shown that on the child tax credit, they can do something. It's about time we did the other. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Gene? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual. Well, to tell you the truth, I don't think the Republicans would care if the Democrats shut down the government. I don't think they care about their job, period. All they do is obstruct and whine, take time off, go after people, throw dirty pictures on them, or pornographic pictures on the floor. I mean, these people don't do anything. Then they have people come in, agencies, heads of agencies, and they run them down and call them names and threaten them and then cut their wages and have a vote on this and that. They don't do anything. I really would love to have people watch the Congress and see those Republicans, what the devil they do not do and how they're wasting your tax dollars, causing chaos. I mean, Matt, I wouldn't even want children to watch our Congress, the Republicans in our Congress. It is an embarrassment. And countries talk about us. I mean, they're afraid to deal with us because we got those nut jobs in there messing up our government, causing chaos and fear, and they're out of their minds. So anyway, I hope people vote blue all the way, because but watch first and see what I'm saying, and study it, because it's a fact and it's alarming. So anyway, thank you very much, Matt. Right. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Thank you, Gene. Excellent call, Karina of Milwaukee. Thanks for calling, Karina. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Nice hearing you, being able to listen. I'm on the road today, so it's you are my companion. look, maybe I'm not understanding, and please correct me. So if I am a poverty line family, even if I work a little and have a lot of kids I need to take care of, there's not enough even money for me to pay tax. So how am I receiving credit, right? Then there is no way, if people do work and they actually not on the government subsidies and help them, then they are paying way more money than that credit. Because even the daycare is like about $1,400 a month. I don't believe that they're going to receive a credit of $16,000 if I make $35,000 a year and I have two children or one even child. You see?
Yeah, no, Karina, you're making a good point. I'll address it. We're going to step away very briefly. I always enjoy your calls. Thank you for calling. Coming up, there's a group in New York City that tried to identify every Jewish-owned business in New York to boycott them. It reminds me of Kristallnacht. Coming up.
Rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15, with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Karina raised some good points, and there were quite a few of them, and it's hard to respond to all of them. But basically, does a tax credit help you if you have no income, that you're not paying taxes? And that's a good point. But there are other programs besides this tax credit that address that and that are very, very important to address it. This is one where you have the so-called working poor who are going to give pay taxes. But this bill, I've not read the bill. This was an announcement just now. But some of these proposals have been that even if you don't benefit from it, you'll nevertheless get a payment. In other words, even if you don't have income, you will get a payment. I do not know if this one has it. I'll look forward to reading it. But the good news is that the Republican Party had resisted any relief in this way. And yet this has come about, and there's no reason it can't come about for everything else. We have a very small group of people shutting things down in the House and the Senate. And it's pure vanity that's inducing everybody else to say, well, we got to keep these crazy rules in effect. I want to talk about a disturbing group in New York City. They call themselves Within Our Lifetime. It's strongly anti-Israel, strongly anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic. And it distributed a map with the location of businesses in New York City that they believe are owned by Jewish people. And this thing is called Know Your Enemy by Any Means Necessary with No Exceptions and No Fine Print, end quote. I really had enough of this. This did happen in Germany in 1938. There were people who identified Jewish-owned businesses and vandalized them. What's happening in New York is that sometimes a mob will show up at a business and disrupt it, scare customers. When the Ku Klux Klan did these kinds of things in the South to black businesses, we shut it down. We shut it down with prosecutions, and we shut it down with injunctions. That's got to be done now. I've had enough of this. Got to be done now. And quite frankly, you scrutinize the membership and who's in this group and deport them. A lot of these people came here from other countries and they're bringing their poison with them. We don't want their poison. If some of them manage to sneak in and get citizenship, prosecute them. If they are involved in a conspiracy to deprive somebody of his civil rights, attacking the First Amendment, the freedom to worship as you want, and so on. This has to be rooted out, root and branch out. We cannot continue to have a double standard and permit this kind of thing. It's already in our universities. This is too much. Cannot be permitted. These are bad people. We got to get them out of the country. Bob of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bob?
The military by Trump, if he does stuff like that, is the military going to be able to crack down on demonstrations or other abuses and stuff like that, or are they going to fight back and say this is illegal and we can't do that? And then depending on what kind of Trump people he has there, and maybe he can't get those people approved, but he can point them, and how much real danger are we in with a fascist takeover over Trump or not?
That's an excellent and perceptive question. And here's the background, and then here's my view, and I'm going to tell you why I have my view. Our service academies, Annapolis, West Point, the Air Force Academy, the Coast Guard Academy, they are totally on the up and up. They produce some of the finest people we produce. They are people who understand, it's drilled into them from day one, that they are subject to civilian leadership. And they do not try to do anything. They're told what they can do domestically, which is nothing, except in very, very rare circumstances, the National Guard is brought out. And the National Guard is normally under the control of the governors of the state, even though the president can federalize them. I'll give you an example. When Dwight Eisenhower was president, the governor of Alabama called out the National Guard to stop black kids from enrolling in the University of Alabama, and Dwight Eisenhower nationalized them and then told them to go home. They were going to take their orders from him from now on. So your point, though, is a very, very profound one. If Trump were to win the election, and he's not going to, but if he were, he would be the civilian leadership. And if he gave orders to the military, for instance, to say there's a Black Lives Matter demonstration, to disrupt it, he basically tried to do that at Lafayette Park when he was president. Remember, he wanted to go to that church and hold up the Bible for a photo op. And he tricked General Milley into going with him dressed in fatigues. And then they had police, and they had, they roughed up photographers. They smashed cameras. They hit people. That is what he did even in the first term. So he could try that, but there's a couple of safeguards, and tell me how safe you think they are. I have complete faith in the general, the flag officer staff, generals and admirals. I've met a number of them, and I have the highest regard for them. I do not think that they are going to obey an illegal order. You know, this business of assassinating political rivals that people have been throwing around, I think it's wrong to just casually talk about that stuff. We're not another country. We're America. They certainly wouldn't do that. If they were ordered by the president to the equivalent of the National Guard, except they're not the National Guard, they're active duty military, and they're not supposed to do it. At the border, going down to the border, the cartels were involved. It's a gray area, but I think that there is no danger, in my view, of the military in this country joining a fascist sociopath like Trump and then conspiring to overturn the government, get rid of the Congress or something like that. Zero. What I am afraid of is, you're right, it requires the Senate to approve a promotion. But if he were to order the Secretary of Defense, if he were to put in a crooked one, crooked Secretary of Defense, to put an officer in charge of a unit, of a regiment, that kind of thing, and they did it, that would not be subject to the Congress, and it wouldn't be subject to the courts. But if it got to the point where he was using the military by appointing crooked generals to do things, your recourse would be the federal courts. And then you'd have to decide, are the six tarantulas going to step up to the plate? Clarence Thomas won't, Gorsuch won't, Alito won't, but will the other six? But it's a very, very good point, and it's something to definitely, definitely keep in mind. Definitely keep in mind and definitely worry about, which is why he should not get reelected. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and Trump's language is becoming increasingly violent and increasingly shrill. Coming up.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former basketball star Dwayne Wade is donating $3 million to Marquette University. Wade's gift will grow the school's summer reading program for Milwaukee children, establish a scholarship program for low-income students, and expand the university's athletic and human performance facilities. A new study recommends Wisconsin put a formula for determining alimony on the books. Shea Drefs is with Custody Exchange, the firm that did the study.
Having bad alimony arrangements can have impact on each of the ex-spouses, on their children, and it can have ripple effects.
The study says about two-thirds of states have no guidelines for alimony negotiations. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A battle is brewing between Superior Mayor Jim Payne and organized labor groups over the future of the Nemadji Trail Energy Center project. According to a Fox 21 report, billboards and yard signs are popping up across the area as Mayor Payne implores Wisconsin state regulators to change their approval of the project. Mayor Payne argues that the details of the project and ownership have changed since it received state approval in 2020. Proponents argue the project is crucial for cleaner energy in the region. According to U.S. Census Bureau data, Wisconsin welcomed a population gain of a little over 20,000 people between July of 2022 and July of 2023. Much of the increase was credited to immigration and people moving from other states, as births outpaced deaths by only 1,147. For people who moved to the state, an estimated 13,653 people came from other countries, and another estimated 5,648 moved from another state. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly could. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Marquette with a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, Marquette got a much-needed victory over Villanova, 87-74. The Golden Eagles had lost three of their last five games. Head coach Shaka Smart.
There had to be some doubt. And I thought the guys did a great job of overcoming that.
Smart says they had a special guest speaker before the game, former Marquette and NBA star Dwayne Wade.
D. Wade gave the pregame talk, and he said, "You guys have to win today." I thought our guys did play with a level of desperation and commitment to what goes into winning, even as Villanova was raining threes in the first half.
NFL, it's the Packers against the 49ers Saturday night. Matt LaFleur on that throw from Jordan Love to Dontavian Wicks in their win over the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, that cover zero play that he ripped that post to Wicks. I mean, that was one of those plays that just, you could sit there and watch that all day long.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The brutal cold continues to blast us today, with blustery winds whipping up to 25 miles per hour, dragging our wind chill values to near negative 25. As highs today struggle to get above zero, it'll only warm to feeling like 15 below. However, we do get to see more sunshine today. Just stay warm. It's 5 degrees at our studios.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I don't know if you've concentrated on how violent Trump's talk has developed over the last year and some things that are culminating right now, but I want to review it very briefly right now. Very briefly. He has said a number of times that if he wins, he will go after Joe Biden and others he feels hurt him. It's really a vengeance tour. But here are some of the specific examples. You've heard them individually, some of them, but maybe you haven't thought about them. In March, he said, in 2016, I declared I am your voice. Today I add, I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. That was in March, as he was launching into this campaign. In June, he said, I will appoint a real special prosecutor to go after the most corrupt president in the history of the U.S., Joe Biden, and the entire Biden crime family. I will totally obliterate the deep state, and we know who they are. The prior December, he said, that because the election of 2020 was rigged, he was lying about that, that allows me to terminate all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. In November, this November, he just said, we pledge to you that we'll root out the communists, Marxists, thugs that have lived like vermin in our confines, and immigrants, this is a separate statement, poison the blood coming in. Let me tell you something. I'll go to the lines. I see you there right now. When you talk like that in the aggregate, and then yesterday he said, you know, don't talk to the rhinos and the globalists. Everything is confrontational. Everything is crooked Joe Biden and that kind of thing. The reason on my show why I refer to him as crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump, lying Mike Pompeo, crooked William Barr, no one addresses him outside of radio the way he addresses people in politics. And there's a thing called a Homeric epithet. If you read the Iliad, Homer is the one who composed it. It was written down after he died. But in the Iliad, the heroes in a good way have things like epithets. They have swift-footed Achilles, fastest man in the Greek army, glancing-eyed Athena. I have no idea why they said that. He's twisted that around, and it's very much like in the mafia, we'll have Sammy the Bull Gravino or Eddie the Rat, that kind of thing. And he does that to us. We don't do it to him. I want to talk about it a little more, but first I want to take these people on the lines. Jack and Merrimack, your friend, your first, my friend. What's on your mind today, Jack?
Well, it totally boggles my mind how anybody can even consider voting for this guy. He has no platform. He has no proposals. He has no program. His sole project for his reelection is, I'm going to get in and I'm going to rain down retribution, retaliation, and revenge. And primarily, it's for he's angry at having lost an election. And people believe him for some crazy reason, and despite hundreds of pieces of evidence, literally from recounts and audits and fraudits and court cases to the certification in every single state that over half of those states were run by Republicans that showed that he lost that election. Yet people are believing that what he says, and all this is done is the whole purpose of this is to tear down the elections that we have and our system of honest, legal elections. I won't say fair until we get rid of the gerrymandering, but they are honest and legal. There is no question on that, and that's been adjudicated. I won't go into repeating what I just said, but the bottom line is I can't imagine why people would believe this. other than the fact that if you tell a lie often enough and you publicize it widely enough, at some point, some people will believe it. It's like the old statement that I think it was James Garner used to say when he was in his TV program as Maverick. You can fool all the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all of the time. And those are pretty good odds.
So. Yeah. Jack, that's an excellent call, as always. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Mary of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Mary, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I actually wanted to talk about two different things. One is the Project 2025, and how in that the white paper or whatever it is that 41 different right-wing organizations got together to provide the future for America, which includes even some language that appears to be from Mein Kampf. But I think people should start reading that. And I was reading a journalist by the name of Alan Piper, who goes through page by page to present some just really almost scary statements in that Project 2025. But what I want to bring up that I think is very ironic and probably a lot of Trump supporters don't understand is Trump said he's going to terminate the U.S. Constitution. Now, we know that the Kochs have been working to rewrite the U.S. Constitution from a blank page. But if Trump terminates the U.S. Constitution, that means there's no more Second Amendment. And what authoritarian government allows their citizens to have guns? And the Trump people, supporters I know, who I try to say to them, without the Constitution, without the Second Amendment, your guns will probably be taken away from you unless you join the military. And they're like, they can't do that. And I said, well, they got rid of Roe versus Wade, right? I mean, where does it stop when you're an authoritarian who wants to take over the country? You're not going to say, okay, raise your hand if you're a Trump supporter, raise your hand if you're not. They'll get rid of the Second Amendment and they'll start removing guns from people. Thank you.
That is a very, very good point. And I want to build on that, Mary. In Russia, you can't have a gun. If you have a gun and that's not authorized by Putin's government, they'll arrest you. They'll search your house. There's no Fourth Amendment. They don't need a warrant. They'll just search your house. Right now, they're searching your house if you have any materials that look sympathetic to Ukraine. One of the things that's always puzzled me is why Wayne LaPierre of the NRA and a lot of the other NRA officials were so close to Putin and the oligarchs. They'd go over there. They'd be entertained by him. Ron Johnson in our state went over on 4th of July, 2018, and hung out with Putin's oligarchs in a country that forbids guns. You hit the nail on the head. The idea of having a gun, a weapon, in the 18th century was very liberal. Kings in the Middle Ages would not permit peasants to have swords. You couldn't have a sword. They didn't have guns back in the Middle Ages, because he didn't want an uprising. In our Constitution, the First Amendment is the most important part of our Constitution, but the Second Amendment is right after it, and it's the right of people to bear arms. Everybody nowadays fights about that. In 1776, and then in 1788, when George Washington became president, that was unbelievably liberal. None of the monarchs in Europe wanted people to have weapons. And you're absolutely right that autocrats today won't let them have weapons. So you're on very solid ground when you're talking to folks and they say, I'm for Trump. Why is Trump so close to Putin? Why is he servile to Putin? Why does he say he has a special relationship with Putin? Why the fascination with Putin? He's an authoritarian, and so is Trump. And they don't care about First Amendment rights. They don't care about Fourth Amendment rights, the rights to prevent search and seizure without a warrant. They don't have the right to, they don't have the, they're not supportive of any constitutional rights. And the Second Amendment in the 18th century, one of the most liberal of the amendments, the most liberal was the First Amendment. No established religion, separation of church and state, the second, and free speech. The second one was you had a right to bear arms. Now, how do we get that across to folks? One time when I was a candidate for office, I was talking to a group of people and they were very concerned about the Second Amendment, as they should be. And I said, did you know, I mean, under the Patriot Act, if they want, they'll take your gun away from you. That really got their attention. That really got their attention. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have effective regulations. For instance, nobody in this country is permitted to own a nuclear weapon. Nobody in this country is permitted to own a biological or chemical weapon. Nobody in this country is entitled legally to hold a shoulder-held missile launcher. You can't do it. If you want a machine gun, starting in the 1930s, you have to put in for a special permit that is the mother of all inquiries into you, and you're crazy to even try. The sole issue in my mind now on that continuum are semi-automatics like AR-15s with large magazines that can function really as machine guns. And I don't want to hear calls about how, well, some hunting rifles are semi-automatic. I get it. What I do not, what I firmly believe is that guns that are more like machine guns should be subject to the same regulatory requirements as machine guns. That to me is pretty, pretty simple. However, the underlying right to bear arms is enshrined in the Constitution, Mary. And when you are talking to people and they say, I'm for Trump, if Trump were for the right to bear arms, he wouldn't hang out in Russia. He wouldn't like Putin. He wouldn't like the oligarchs. If Ron Johnson cared about the right to bear arms, he wouldn't go to Moscow, Russia. On July 4th, taunting our country, 2018, and hang with the autocrats. All those people care about is power and money and whatever gives them that. So, for instance, if they can get votes by talking up the Second Amendment, they will. They don't give a damn about the Second Amendment. Wayne LaPierre didn't give a damn about the Second Amendment. Neither does the NRA leadership. They give a damn about money, and they are abusing the dues of people, and they live high on the hog. That's all they do. And I think it's excellent, excellent that you made the point you did in your call. Quite excellent. Thank you very much, Mary, as always. One little thing that tickled the heck out of me is Donald Trump is forced by a court to pay the New York Times almost $400,000. Why? Because the New York Times published an article that said that truthfully that he inherited much of his money from his father. He was not a self-made man. That he paid $750 total in federal income tax in 2017. And for the previous 15 years, he'd paid no federal income tax. And it was all true. Trump sued him, sued his niece, Mary Trump, for disclosing it, and said that it was a conspiracy to make him look bad. You don't have to be a lawyer to know that that is not a good claim. The judge threw him out, but he was doing it to pander to the people that support him, said, you're going to pay their legal fees. And I hope that they said the same thing about Mary Trump. Everything the guy does is a fraud. Coming up, I'm going to give you a couple of tips if you are seriously thinking of running for political office in Wisconsin. Some encouragement coming up.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
We all make resolutions this time of year. And let's face it, most of them won't stick. But here's one that's not only easy to keep, but it'll help you feel healthier all year long. Navage. Navage provides quick, drug-free nasal relief by washing saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out of the other nostril. This time of year, when everyone is sick, Navage helps by sucking out germs, bacteria, and viruses trapped in our noses that cause us to feel miserable. And come allergy season, it does the same with dust, pollen, and other allergens. And unlike medications that can take time to help, if they're effective at all, Navage helps treat congestion symptoms in seconds flat, without drugs. This New Year's, resolve to use drug-free Navage to help you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all year long. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Metropolitan Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now, I'm going to pose this question. Are you young? Are you ambitious? Would you like to be in the Wisconsin State Legislature or Congress? You wonder how to do it, how to get into it. Let me tell you something. My impression of this year is that this year is the year of the insurgent, of the non-incumbent. This is the year where people are going to kick over the apple cart and say, we need fresh blood, young blood. Young blood. And if you or anybody in your family, you have a friend in their 20s and 30s who would like to be in politics and just have no idea of when's the right time, this is the right time. Let me give you a couple of examples. Two of them are current and several from history. Currently in the 3rd Congressional District, you know, Van Orden is a disaster. He's an embarrassment to the Republican Party. There are a number of very fine candidates, but there's a very young, aggressive, and snappy candidate who seems to be doing well. She has a real shot. Real shot. This is exactly the time to knock a guy like Van Orden off. In Dane County, there's a county executive race. There's a state senator running who had been in the is in the state Senate, hasn't really done much, sort of virtue signaled and press releases, that kind of thing. But there's a much younger, much more forceful individual coming from the outside who I think has a real shot. A real shot. A lot of times you find candidates who are basically mutton dressed up as lamb. I mean, basically, they're going through the motions. They're trying to get to another position. It's a sinecure that basically they didn't do anything before and they're not going to do anything now. You want young, fresh blood that's eager to clear that up, to take that seat. I'll give you two examples. And this is for Democrats and Republicans. In 1974, if you're a Republican, there's a guy named Glenn Davis in the Congress representing Waukesha. There's a young guy named Bob Kasten who came along and knocked them off in a primary. Now, I did not support Kasten. I opposed Kasten, and I was absolutely delighted when he was beaten. But the point I'm making is when he was young and vigorous, he knocked off Glenn Davis. In 1980, Russ Feingold, in the early 80s, Russ Feingold was a lawyer in a large law firm. He wanted to go into politics. He ran against a much older guy who was sort of set in his ways, and Russ knocked him off. And then after a term or so in the Senate, he went to the U.S. Senate. The lesson to me in seeing all of this is this is the year of the insurgent. This is the year of the incumbent. The worst mistake that the Republican Party is doing is nominating Donald Trump, who is a walking crime scene, who sheds crime, bankruptcy, devastation, division, wherever he goes. responsible for over 1,000 people, going to get convicted for the January 6th insurrection. People went to, you know, Manafort, Stone, Cohen, all these people. Bannon. Meadows is indicted. Giuliani's indicted. Giuliani going to declare bankruptcy. You get nothing but devastation, lying, fraud, bankruptcy, and treason with the guy. If they nominated somebody younger with some fresh ideas who was not a sociopath, not a thief, that'd be hard to find in the Republican Party. But if you could find them, they would have a much better shot. They have no shot against Joe Biden. Yes, Joe is the age that he is, but Joe Biden, experience, honesty, is one of the finest presidents we've ever had and the most experienced in foreign policy. And thank God he is our nominee and will be our nominee with what's happening in the Middle East in particular, but happening in Ukraine. But let's go below that. Let's go to Congress. Let's go to county executives. Let's go to aldermen, county supervisors, legislators. Remember something else. These legislative maps are being redrawn. If you are in a legislative district and you think that the map that will be redrawn will very likely include you, run for it. Run for it in the Republican primary. Run for it in the Democratic primary. You get a lot of dead wood that builds up in a gerrymander on both sides because they have sky blue or ruby red districts, and all they do is they start to get nervous around the edges and try to outdo the other guy to see as far right or far left as they get. In the Republican Party, you had a guy that said he wears socks with Trump's picture on it, that he is only a bobby pin, and Trump is Thor's hammer. That's what you get. That's what you get. We can take a quick call from Gene of Eau Claire, second call, the privilege that Gene has from being a faithful caller over the years. Gene of Eau Claire, we have a minute or so. Thanks for calling.
Matt, is there a place where these young people can call or get in contact with so they can get help and ask questions, you know, if they're interested in doing this?
Yes.
Maybe someday you have resources to let these kids know. Thank you very much. I'll hang up.
I'll get it. You know, in the Democratic Party, they can call Ben Wickler's office, state headquarters. They have a program to develop new candidates. The Republican Party, I do not know, but I assume if they call the Republican Party headquarters, if you're a Republican, you will get some resources. The point is, we need younger people. We need smart, aggressive, younger people who are enthusiastic and who aren't just saying, oh, I got to be ruby red or I got to be sky blue. And let's get rid of some of the dead wood. Let's get rid of some of the dead wood. Feel very strongly about this. Been a great show. This has been a great show. Great callers, as always. These are uncertain times. You got to know history. You know history. The more we talk about it, I appreciate all of my callers. They really make the show. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today. Don't let me down.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Even when a crop is insured through standard insurance options, it may not always be enough. A supplemental coverage option or enhanced coverage option can provide extra protection. SEO and ECO are area-based policies that could ensure yields as high as 95%. To find out if an SEO or ECO policy is right for you, contact the insurance team at Egg Country Farm Credit Services. Egg Country. Focused on ag, focused on you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.